What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game.
Because you know, like at camps and stuff like this, you take the ball out, you ain't getting the ball back. Like, you the last one up the court, they already did their thing. So I stopped there, and I just got into a rhythm and started hooping.
The Lakers should sign Trae Young this summer.
They got to kind of start preparing for, like, if LeBron's last year is this year or next year, whenever it is. And I feel like a pick and roll with AD and a guy like Trae Young would be deadly.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
A rested child is a happy child. Sleep Tight Stories is a weekly podcast that brings comfort and joy to families worldwide with calming bedtime stories. The stories are relevant to children and spark wonder without overstimulation, so they can fall asleep and stay asleep. Listen to Sleep Tight Stories on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Or a bedtime routine you'll miss when they're grown, Sleep Tight Stories.
Welcome into What's Burning, my friends, joined by Matt Barnes, Steven Jackson. And guys, we've got so much good playoff stuff going on. I just want to get straight into it. Monday night in the NBA, thrilling in Miami. Jimmy Butler dropping 56 points, swaying the series, putting the number 8 seed up 3-1 on top of the top seeded Bucks. And look, we have to start with Jimmy, right? This was the most points in Heat playoff history, which is saying something on a team where LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, Shaq all won titles. At one point in the third quarter, guys, Jimmy had 35 points and the rest of the Heat had 39 points. So cannot overstate his value there. But I got a question for you. Was Jimmy Butler's Game 4 the single greatest playoff performance for a Miami Heat player? We know it's the most points, but you got to remember, we had that LeBron game in 2012, that Game 6 versus the Celtics up in Boston, the Eastern Conference Finals, when the Heat were down 3-2. He had 45, 15, and 5. We had Tim Hardaway versus the Knicks in 97, that Game 7 in the second round. 38 points, 7 assists. And of course, Dwayne Wade in the 2006 finals. Remember, he had that game 3. They were down 0-2. They were down 13 points in the fourth quarter. And he came back and I think he had 40-something points. And he did it again in game 5 of that series. So where would you put this Jimmy Butler performance stack in the grand scheme of Miami performances?
I definitely put it up there with, you know, one of the top performances. I definitely think LeBron's performance is at the top. Just what was at stake and the team he was playing against and how he dominated. I think LeBron, his performance against Boston is always going to be at the top of me for Miami. But Jimmy Butler's right there to score those points. You know, if it was the East Conference Finals, then I would be saying it might be bigger than Braun. But it's just the first round, which is still big because they're playing the number one seed. And I think the last time what a number one seed was knocked off in the first round was us. So it's good to see them having the opportunity to do it.
I think, too, I think the stage, obviously, and you never want to take anything away from Jimmy. This guy wills his team somehow, some way, every single time he steps on the floor. My number one performance is D-Wade, because he did it on the biggest stage, which is in the finals. And it was a long time ago, and my memory is a little shaky because I do smoke a lot. But I just remember seeing how incredible he was in those games to become finals MVP. Obviously, what Bron did in Boston is huge, because on that stage, but you know, definitely don't want to take anything away from Jimmy for what he did last night. It was incredible. Just someone who's a Swiss Army knife can give you whatever you need to win. And last night it was scoring, and he did it, put on one of the greatest players.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on the Dwayne Wade one. I just remember sort of them looking like that whole series was going to be a wash, and he turned the whole thing around. They end up winning a title, him and Shaq, and that great team with Alonzo Mourning. So I agree that time and place matters, but there's no question that Jimmy Butler has been phenomenal in the playoffs overall throughout his career, certainly on Monday night. But he really took issue, guys, with that playoff Jimmy idea. And you remember Rajon Rondo used to take issue with the idea that there was a playoff Rondo. Jimmy was asked about last night about playoff Jimmy, and he was like, no, that's not true. I'm just hooping, that kind of thing. Why do you think, Matt, why do you think guys don't like that moniker?
Maybe because you want to think that you're giving your best effort the entire season. But you know, Jimmy has been that one guy in particular. I mean, maybe even more than Rondo. And I say that with all due respect. In the playoffs, Jimmy turns something else on. I mean, maybe it's the beer he's drinking come playoff time, or the music he's listening to. But again, Jimmy is someone who has willed his team, not just this year, but pretty much every year he's been in Miami. They made a run to the finals, and he was incredible and gassed the entire time. But he is just one of the most, you know, one of the greatest competitors we've ever seen in this game, whose heart is as big as anyone's in this game. And whether he likes it or not, playoff Jimmy is just something different.
Stack, playoff Jimmy is a real thing, right?
I wouldn't say that with him. I mean, because he gives effort all year round. There's some guys that when they give him their playoff name, it fits them because they only play hard. They only give their effort in the playoffs. But with Jimmy, I think he gives that effort all year round. I just think in the playoffs it's highlighted because the game slows down. The star players have the ball more. And you really get to see how talented these guys
are. His numbers are better in the playoffs. I wonder if that's – I don't think it is an effort thing, because I agree with you. I think that he gives effort the whole year through. But I wonder if it's just situationally he's able to do more in those situations. Whatever it is, it's working for the Miami Heat. Do you guys think – I mean, coming back from 3-1 in a series has only very rarely happened. Do you guys think that Giannis and the Bucks can do this, or do you think this series is over?
If there's one player that can will his team back from being 3-1, it's Giannis. I believe. I'm not saying they're going to do it, but if somebody could do it, it would be him. I don't know how healthy he is. He was limped away last night from the game in one possession, and he fell hard for the first time. So again, on his back. So I don't know how healthy he is, but if he's 100%, they got a good chance.
And you also see what I think Jack just pointed out, or maybe I missed one, but at the very end of the game, the last play of the game, he fell right on his tailbone. And I don't think no one noticed that because Miami had won, but that could be a big if. But I agree with Jack. I mean, if there's one team that can wail back, it's Giannis's team. And the only reason why I feel like they can do it is because Jimmy has to play like this every single game. You know what I mean? Obviously, this is one game which was incredible. You know, obviously, they're shorthanded with Tyler Hero. They just lost Victor Oladipo to another terrible knee injury. But if Jimmy's going to have to drop 50 every night or be in the high 40s every night, that doesn't necessarily favor his team. And then, you know, because Milwaukee pretty much had the game in hand. They just didn't play a full 48 minutes. So I think it'll be interesting. You don't want to take anything away from Jimmy and the Heat squad for what they were able to accomplish last night. But the window's definitely still open for Milwaukee. They got to go home and take care of business and then
injuries,
go game by game.
Again, we don't know. We don't know how Giannis is going to be. And frankly, as you point out, the Heat cannot sustain one more injury to one more important guy on that team. I mean, they're so thin right now. So we'll have to see what happens. If the Bucks do end up losing this series, though, a first-round exit for a top-seeded team, as you point out, Stack, has not happened in a long, long time. The Bucks will have to sit and take a look at what they want to do. You've got Brook Lopez as an unrestricted free agent. Chris Middleton has a player option. Do you think, Stack, if they do lose this first round series, you just draw it up to, you know, hey, chalk it up to injuries and Giannis and we try to run it back for next year again? Or do you think you want to make some major changes?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say you need to make changes when Giannis is not 100%. I mean, that's what makes that machine go. I mean, if he was 100%, we'd probably be seeing a different series. So I think they'll kind of keep the core of that team together. Lopez has had a great year. He almost won Defensive Player of the Year. So Lopez is somebody they need to keep in pocket. The pick and roll that him and Giannis was running yesterday, was Miami couldn't stop it. So I just think it might be some other players they need to tune in and take out. But for the most part, I think they're still good.
Yeah, I definitely don't think you blow this core up. This core has been one of the most consistent cores the last handful of years. But if you guys remember, before Milwaukee came out of nowhere and won that finals, who was on the hot
That's
seat?
That's true. Coach Bud.
It was Bud. And you got to think, there was a lot. And Shaq Charles that pointed it out last night on TNT after the game. There were some times there was some questionable decision-making and timeouts that weren't called during that run that Miami was making that kind of had me on the head. Yeah, and I was just thinking, like, I was about to start tweeting, but I was dealing with Ash, so I didn't. But I'm thinking, like, and it just made me think back to before Milwaukee won their championship. That championship saved their head coach. So, again, I don't think it's with the players, if anything, and I'm not even saying they need to, if this doesn't work, they need to fire Bud. But I think he probably will take some heat, and there will be some, you know, deep examining of his abilities
to lead
that team. Yeah, that's
a great point. It'll be interesting to see. But as you guys say, I think the Bucks still have a chance. That series is far from over, and either way, it's going to be a good time. All right, I want to get over back here to L.A. because LeBron went 20-20 in year 20. First time in a playoff game he's ever posted those numbers. By the way, first time in 50 years that a player of his age has done it. In fact, he broke Wilt's record. Wilt was 36 when he did it. LeBron is, of course, 38. So crazy to have a guy at that age put up those kinds of numbers. Lakers fans, of course, a whirlwind of emotions this entire season. They've revamped the roster. AD and LeBron have both missed extended periods of time. They battled just to get into the play-in, and now they're up 3-1, though, on the number 2-seeded Grizzlies. And Matt, you always said if the Lakers get in, they'd be dangerous. But is that just because, hey, they're the team with LeBron James? Is that going to be enough as they keep going here? I don't know if he can do 20-20 every night. What's your assessment here as we go?
Well, Rachel, it was crazy because as I was watching this game last night, I was in a group chat with Jelani and a couple of my UCLA homeboys, and I literally said, because he was really passive down the stretch before overtime, like didn't look to attack, didn't look to anything. I was just like, damn, it doesn't even look like LeBron can get, you know, he's not really doing anything to get by no one. And when I tell you, as soon as I said that, he started going. You know what I mean? And everyone in my, like, hey, that didn't age well. Literally, like, 30 seconds, it's like he heard me. But to your point, Rach, I don't think LeBron can sustain. You know, sometimes people say you had to catch your second win. He had to catch his third win last night, which was incredible, and he was able to do it. And, again, like Jimmy, will his team to a victory? But my biggest question mark is Anthony Davis's inconsistency. He'll give you 30-17 one night, and then he comes back and gives you, what did he have last night, like 11-12, you know what I mean? When he's talent-wise supposed to be one of the greatest players that this game has. So it'll be very interesting to see how much juice LeBron has, because there's times where you watch the games, and granted that 2020 was absolutely incredible for someone his age at this point, but you can just tell that as a team, they can't sustain energy consistently. It's crazy. There's so many peaks and valleys with that team. So I think this team can still beat Memphis because Memphis is shorthanded. But it'll be interesting to see if they have enough gas as a team to continue to advance. It's going to take the role players to continue to play well. Austin Reeves has played himself into a lot of money, but I really put a lot of the focus on Anthony Davis. If Anthony Davis is going to be the guy that can step up in these big games and help burden the load that LeBron has faced every game his entire career, this team has a chance to, you know, continue their journey through the West, because the West is, to me, still
Dak,
very wide
open. What would you
tell
AD if you were his coach or his teammate?
Oh boy, I want to hear this.
Yeah.
What would I tell AD?
Real talk.
That's a good question. I don't know. I honestly don't know. What would I tell AD? What would I tell AD? I was thinking more from the Memphis side. The Lakers, you know, they got AD and LeBron. They should win this series. The Memphis don't have their big man. That's a big difference. LeBron wouldn't be getting 20 rebounds if Steven Adams was in the series. Steven Adams is a big part of this series. And then again, you know, LeBron just smarter than all these players out there on the court. You know, they're talented, Rachel, but they don't pay attention to detail. at all. And you know what I'm saying? And I think this was showing at LeBron's age is his IQ over everybody's IQ on the court. You let LeBron go right at a clutch point of the game with one dribble to the rim, he's going to score every time. You know, and it just and every time they're just not understanding the game in detail. There's no way if I was in that game, I would let LeBron go right. LeBron can score. He can score right every time. But going left, the percentages drop. So I would force him to go left and make him pass to somebody else and make Austin Reeves or somebody beat you. But you don't let LeBron just drive to the rim. So LeBron is just 10 times smarter than everybody on the court.
Yeah, well, you can definitely see the youth with the Grizzlies, and they've had their own kind of discombobulation throughout this series. Dylan Brooks talking, not talking. It's going to be interesting to see what happens when they get back down to Memphis. But I do agree with you, Matt. Anthony Davis has to be more consistent. This was supposed to be a situation when LeBron came to the Lakers that, yes, he was going to be the dominant player when he first got to LA. But the idea, I mean, he said it out loud. The idea was that it would transition into being AD's team and that he would be, you know, a very talented elder statesman. But sort of as he approached 40, that he would be sort of the older piece on the team and that the real powerhouse would be Anthony Davis. And we haven't seen that full transition yet. I mean, LeBron is still the guy that makes this team go. You would think that this playoffs, if the Lakers are going to win, it's going to have to be because Anthony Davis can take over games consistently. I'm looking for it. We'll see if it happens. I don't know.
Hold on, Rach. Before we jump to the next topic, let's rewind. Yeah. You mentioned Dylan Brooks. How do you talk shit, continuing to talk shit, and then try to say that the media and the fans are making you a villain? And then when you start getting your head busted, you don't want to talk to the media no more. Like, how do you, it's easy to talk shit when shit's cool, you know what I mean? But when your back's against the wall, you got to stand on what you're talking. And now you want to, I'm out and I'm not talking to the media. He's acting like a hoe, straight up. And he's trying to point the finger at everyone else. That shit
well,
is weak.
Well, we talk about on the court that guys got to like learn how to do things, right? That they're a young team and they got all the stuff Zach was just talking about. I think with trash talk, it's the same thing, right?
Come on, man. You got to stand on it. You got to stand on it, especially when you're talking about, you know what I mean? You're disrespecting one of the greatest, if not the greatest player we've ever seen. And when things start to not go your way a little bit, now you're pointing the finger at the media and you're pointing the finger at the fans. And you don't want to talk to the media because your mouth wrote a check, your ass can't cash. You know what I mean? So I think he's on some clown behavior. And all that kind of stuff adds up, you know, because the one thing about Memphis is, you know, during the regular season, a little bit of outside noise won't necessarily deter you. You know, they had some stuff with Ja. Dylan's been in and out with technical fouls. They've obviously had some injuries. But, you know, come playoff time, there has to be a singular focus and it has to be a team focus. And I think he individually had tried to make it an individual one-on-one type matchup. And when that shit didn't work, now all of a sudden it's everyone else's fault but his. That's some clown shit.
I kind of disagree, Matt, because they asked him about Bron. I mean, they asked him a question, and I don't think he was supposed to say, "Oh, Bron is the greatest" and all that. He said what he wanted, how he felt. Now, if he didn't back up his play, that's one thing. And people can say he talking trash and not backing up his play, that's one thing. But the other things they saying about him as a person, I think that's what he talking about. Yeah, he talking trash. He didn't back it up as a person. Because I've been there. I talk trash on the court. I got my ass buzzed by Bron, Kobe, all of them. But when they try to take it as you as a person and attack you as a person and not on the court, I think that's what he kind of talk about. Running from the media, yeah, you got to stand up because you the same person that said he was old and all that. So you got to take that after LeBron have a 20-20 game. But when you start attacking the person off the court, I think that's what he's running from. Now, we different. We didn't run from nothing. We dealt with whatever we said. We stood up behind it. But I don't think he's really talking about as far as him talking this trash and not backing up. I think they're trying to say he a thug and a villain and all this stuff, which he take on the court. But once he off the court, leave that man alone.
Yeah, I never heard the thug part. But, I mean, I think the villain role, and we've both been villains. And we played a big hand in creating that villain narrative. And we were cool with it. Like you said, we stood on it. Whether we were right or wrong, played well or played like shit, we stood on it and we followed through. But that was – I haven't heard no one – I must have missed it, you know, talking about him off the court as far as – I mean, he can't be a thug. He walks in with a vest with no shirt on. That ain't a thug. So I'm not talking about – I don't think – I missed if they were talking bad about him as a person – I didn't hear that part, but I'm keeping it strictly on the basketball front.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you got to stand on all this shit you're talking about. And when it doesn't go well, that's the humility part. That's the part where you still have to look into the media, look into the camera, and still say whatever you want to say. But to me, you're running after the last two games because shit hasn't necessarily gone your way. And that's what I'm not definitely not talking about, because you and I have both been labeled off the court. Well, you might have a little thuggish tendencies in you, but you know, I was never in no shit like that, but I'm talking strictly like basketball. If you're going to talk, and again, I like Dylan Brooks, because to me, you know, Jack, our saying is, you know, check it or respect it. And no one has checked it. You know what I mean? But I'm saying he's kind of checking himself now by just not standing on what he's said. You know what I mean? I like the fact that Dylan Brooks lives rent free in a lot of different people's head, and no one has really done anything about it. But that the tables have turned slightly, and I don't like how he wants to blame the media and the fans, and now he doesn't want to talk after the game. That's what I'm talking about.
And I'm happy he did say those things about Bron, because he brought a side of Bron that I never seen. I never seen no Bron walk up to nobody before the game.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I've been dying to see this person for 20 years. Everybody say, well, Bron ain't that guy. I get it. But I've been dying to see this guy for 20 years. Because if we would have seen this guy from year one, Rach, and I'm gonna say this, if we would have seen this guy in this Memphis series that we seen from year one, we wouldn't be talking about who the best player of all time.
A mad or a mean LeBron. That's a LeBron's always.
Yeah, we wouldn't even. Yeah. There wouldn't even be a discussion.
Okay, but LeBron tried to be mean for a season in Miami. Remember his first year in Miami, and he said being a villain did not do well for him.
The villain.
He didn't like it. He didn't play like himself. Yeah. But I get it. I get what you mean.
It got to be in you, not on you. It can't be on. You got to be.
Matt, I just want to know what you think Stack would look like if he came in with the vest with no shirt.
Nah. We wouldn't be friends no more.
Nah, hell no. Nah. I wouldn't have no friends.
I wanted to get to Devin Booker, too, on the other side of the series, though, because he's been electric. Suns hitting their stride. Booker averaging 35 a game, shooting 57% from the floor. So, Matt, would you say Devin Booker has been the best player in the postseason so far, or would you give that title to someone else?
I want to say this before I say that. This is the Kevin Durant effect, and this is not taking anything away from Booker. It's the fact that Kevin Durant is on the floor too, and it frees up Booker so much. And obviously Booker still has to go out there and do what he does, but Booker's always been incredible. But I think the freedom and the ability to do everything he's doing, again, and this is definitely not a knock on Book because he's one of my favorite players, but the fact that Kevin Durant is that other wing allows him to go crazy. With that said, I definitely say that Booker is up there, you know, probably top. You could have him one, two, or three. I mean, there's been a lot of great guys. Steph and De'Aaron Fox has been a great battle in that series. Booker's been incredible. Anthony Edwards, although his team hasn't really played well, he's been incredible. You look over at Brunson, there's been a lot of great individual performances this year, but I definitely think Booker is the head of the class this year. He's playing lights out for them, and I hope it can continue.
When the last time Booker got a swing from a double team wide open three? Since KD been there, man, they look good. I mean, it's definitely the KD effect. I mean, Matt said it all.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
When your child fights sleep, it can feel like a battle you'll never win. Imagine a bedtime routine you all look forward to, where you cuddle in and let the stress of the day melt away. Welcome to Sleep Tight Stories, a calming weekly podcast that brings bedtime stories, cuddles, and comfort to families worldwide. The stories are quirky, relatable, and spark wonder without overstimulation, so listeners can fall asleep and stay asleep. Each episode is narrated by me, Cheryl McLeod, a second grade teacher, and written by my husband, Clark, an eternal second grader at heart. Tune in tonight and bond over a story before drifting off to sleep. Make bedtime the sweetest part of your day. Sleep Tight Stories. Listen to Sleep Tight Stories on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. I'm Abby, a mother of two, and I had these battles myself. Endless excuses, delay tactics, and many tears and tantrums. But I've created a solution. The perfect kids podcast that makes bedtime a dream. It's called Koala Moon, and it's hosted by me, Abby. With over 300 episodes, packed with original stories and sleep meditations, Koala Moon makes bedtimes easy and enjoyable. Episodes start out engaging and really rather magical, but as they progress, they gently slow to a calm and relaxing pace to have your little ones out like a light. Since launching in 2022, Koala Moon has helped with over 20 million nights' sleep and received over 6,000 five-star reviews. Win back your evenings. Listen to Koala Moon now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Matt, so while I have you here by yourself, it's the time to ask you about the Matt Barnes versus Matt Barnes series, Kings Warriors. Kings had a chance to go up 3-1. A little sloppy play down the stretch. Some savvy from the Warriors means they're now tied at 2-2 instead. And now De'Aaron Fox has a fracture on his index finger of his shooting hand. Ooh. Matt, how do you handicap this series from this point out?
It's fucked up, man. And I've been torn this whole series, Rach. Obviously, you know, Warriors in my history with them and the We Believe and the opportunity to be on a championship team. And then, you know, Sacramento's my hometown team and they've been bad for so long and they're finally here and they're real and they're the real deal. And I think you touched on inexperience played a huge part in game four. Down the stretch, clutch time, turnovers, shot selection, rotations. Just a lot of things that you know the Warriors aren't going to beat themselves. And I feel like the Kings beat themselves in game four and still had a shot, you know, with Harrison Barnes at the end of the game to win it. The unfortunate news with De'Aaron Fox is terrible. And I'm someone who's played through several finger, but I've never had the load and the responsibility of a De'Aaron Fox. And I tell you, and I did play through this, but it, shit was terrible, you know, especially because similar to him, we were both very active on the defensive end. So anytime you swipe at a ball and hit it the wrong way or even land and then offensively holding the ball and people swiping at you. And you know, someone like Draymond is going to take a hacksaw Jim Duggan hack at that hand like he should. You know what I mean? That's a part of the game. Like if someone has an injury, you go after that injury. So when I heard the news yesterday, I was just so disheartened because I still feel like this team has a chance. I mean, I think game five is a must win for Sacramento if they're going to move on, but they're going to need De'Aaron. So, you know, I'm praying that, you know, he's able to come back and be healthy. Because we want to see these teams at full strength. You know, I didn't agree with the Draymond, and people can get mad all they want. I didn't think he should have been suspended because I want to see both these teams, you know, at their best. So Sacramento is right there. You hate to just, you know, you hate to have like these moral victories, but I think Sacramento has shown that this team is real. And for the next handful of years, they're going to be very real and continue to get better. But it is a must win. Game five is a must win for Sacramento. You don't want to let the Warriors win three straight games going back to San Francisco. So we will have to see how De'Aaron Fox handles this injury. And then from a Kings side, Sabonis and Herder, yeah, plain and simple, have to step up. Keegan Murray had struggled the first three games, and he came out and had a tremendous game. And I didn't know why he wasn't playing down the stretch. But Herder and Sabonis have yet to really find their rhythm in this game. And I say that with all due respect to Sabonis, because he's still putting up double-doubles, but it's just not his normal, typical game if you've seen him play all season. So Golden State is sitting right where they want to. You know, Sacramento handled their first two games at home. Golden State handled their next two games. But now you're starting to see the experience of where Golden State has been the last, yeah, 8 to 9 years.
You mentioned really that Draymond suspension. And, you know, of course, the league office, when they did it, said that his history came into play. I thought Draymond, by the way, the other day had the line of the playoffs so far. He said, I didn't know you could get suspended for a flagrant foul from 7 years ago, which I thought was great. Just great. Right. Right. Draymond, right, really did an interesting thing in game four, by the way, is that he took himself out of the starting lineup. He went to Steve Kerr, and after sitting on the sidelines for game three, he said he watched the game. It was like watching film live, and that he saw the extra space that was there by only having one big on the floor. And he went to Steve Kerr. First, he went to Steph Curry and asked him. Then he went to Steve Kerr and said, I think that, you know, he said, look, I think we should just start Kevon Looney. We should just start one. And he's the one who's earned it at this point. And then, you know, of course, Steve did start Draymond for the beginning of the second half. But what did you think of Draymond doing that overall and just stepping up and taking that on himself, and then also the effect it had?
This is the reason why he's one of my favorite players. I think people get a glimpse of him as a player during those 2.5 hours. Well, now you obviously get him on his podcast too, but just the way he thinks the game, one of the most intelligent, high basketball IQ players that I think this game has ever seen. And just a stand-up move, you know what I mean? I mean, because that was the question, like, hey, the Warriors finally won a first game without Draymond, and obviously, people are trying to say dumb shit like, oh, they're better with that.
That's ridiculous.
They're definitely,
yeah,
not better without him. That's an absolute fact. They don't have any championships if this guy isn't on the team. But I just think the fact that, you know, obviously he stood up, you know, he probably did, you know, he thought he shouldn't have been ejected either, yeah, or suspended either, but he was. He took the time to watch the game and kind of see the game. You know, most people couldn't wait. I can't wait to get back out there and do. But he saw how well they, mm-hmm, played without him. You know what I mean? So it's just like, you know, for him to have that kind of, that mind and willing to sacrifice, and it worked, but him still being, yeah, so instrumental in the game. I mean, he had huge steals and blocks and rebounds down the stretch that really sealed this team's victory. So his energy to win. So again, another reason why Draymond is not only one of my favorite players, but favorite people. And again, this is going to be big for the Kings. I mean, they're in uncharted territory right now. You know, how do you bounce back from two straight losses? Yeah. Two games you possibly could have won. There was chances even in that first game when they ended up losing by double digits that if Sacramento could have hit anything, they could have made a run. So this is a great test for a young team going back home wounded with guys not playing very well. And you know that Golden State is looking, you know, Golden, yep, State sees blood in the water now. You know, they see blood in the water. They see a wounded animal. So we're going to have to see how this Sacramento team responds behind
the Fox. Yeah, I want to see how Sacramento rises to the occasion. I want to see how the Warriors rise to the occasion, too, because they've been crappy on the road for so much of this season that even with a golden opportunity, yep, in front of them, I want to see if they can execute. So we'll have to see. It's, yeah, a pivotal game five, one of the most fun series in the first round. I can't wait. All right, I want to get to our Top Shot legendary moments because the playoffs are moving along. Top Shot has 2023 NBA playoff packs and their $10 drop and dimes, $29 three-pointer versions. Those are available until April 30th, 2023 at 7 p.m. Eastern. Each pack purchased is an entry to win an all-expenses-paid trip to Games 1 and 2 or Games 3 and 4 of the NBA Finals. That is a good prize, people. Wow. I know, right? Matt, I want to know, which playoff series do you think has generated the most moments? Kings, Warriors, Knicks, Cavs, Lakers, Grizz?
Kings, Warriors. I think there was a stat that someone just sent me. Let me look on my phone real quick. It was, yeah, the most viewed. Where did it go? Sacramento Kings versus Golden State Warriors, Game 4 on ABC draws the largest NBA playoff first round audience across any network in 21 years. They peaked out at 10.5 million views. So I'm a homer. I'm a NorCal guy, and NorCal is rocking right now. So I'm definitely going to say that Kings-Warriors series. The battle between Steph and De'Aaron Fox has been incredible. And De'Aaron Fox is letting everyone know I'm one of the best players in the world.
I mean, look, those numbers are crazy too when you consider it's West Coast game. So half the country, you know, that's 11 o'clock midnight type of situation. Everyone's staying tuned. So yes, best moments. Best. Yep. You guys can start your NBA Top Shot collection today at NBATopShot.com. Get closer than ever to the game and players you love. Sign up today. On the Radar Map, presented by DraftKings, the only sports book you need for the 2023 playoffs. Let's take a look at Wednesday's game. Make some picks. Game 5, Knicks at Cavs. Cavs are 5.5-point favorites. Do the Knicks close it out in Cleveland? Or, Matt, can the Cavs extend the series back to MSG?
That's a tough call. The Knicks have been playing I want to shout out Brunson, man. I always knew he was a good player, but to see what his departure from Dallas has done and what his arrival in New York has done has been incredible. I don't think anyone saw him being this pivotal.
No, it's a great
point. With all due respect. And you know, everyone said like, oh, they're paying him $100 million. I think he's underpaid, and I've said this a handful of times since. Like, he's underpaid. This next contract's going to be bigger. So, first of all, I want to shout him out. It's going to be interesting. I think for them, for the Knicks to close out Cleveland on Cleveland's home court, Julius Randle has to show up to this series. Obviously, he had a great season, but a bad ankle sprain coming into this playoffs, and I think he's kind of been a shell of himself, settling for jumpers, maybe because his ankle isn't as strong as it needs to be for him to get downhill. But I think in order for this team to close out Cleveland in Cleveland, it's going to have to ride on Julius Randle, because I pretty much feel like what everyone else is going to give you. You know, Brunson is a gamer. Donovan Mitchell's coming off a bad game at the Garden, so he wants to get back to the crib and really show up and show out. So, I would give the nod to Cleveland right now, because I think it's going to be easier for Donovan Mitchell to turn it on at home than Julius Randle to kind of find his rhythm at this point.
Yeah, I can't see Donovan Mitchell going out like this, frankly. I mean, I still would think New York is going to win the series.
No.
But a gentleman sweep, losing at home, I don't know. I'm going to say that Donovan Mitchell is going to come up, show up big, and then, take the series back to New York. And then I see the Knicks closing it out. But we'll see. That's why they play the games. I want to get to Lakers-Grizz. Memphis is 4-point favorites. Do you think that's going to happen, or do you think LeBron sends Dylan Brooks and company to Cancun? This is a tough one for me.
Yeah, I mean, for real, I think Memphis, as long as, Ja took a few falls last game, scary falls. If he's going to be on the court, I give Memphis the edge in game 5, and then the Lakers got to finish it at home, because Memphis is one of the loudest arenas in the world, and you don't want to have to go back for a game 7. So it'll be a game 7, even though it's game 6 in LA. I give the nod, as long as Ja's playing, I give the nod to Memphis going home and protecting home, and then having to come back to LA and pretty much play. It's going to be a game 7 for the Lakers.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, too, if that series keeps extending, because they play more often now, right? I mean, they had big breaks in the beginning part of the series. Now they're going to start playing every other day, that kind of thing. Travel's going to go back and forth, so an older team could get more tired. It's going to be interesting to see. But I think Memphis is favored for the right reasons. We'll have to see. Yeah.
Real quick, Rach, before we jump, I want to go back to that Madison Square Garden crowd. How great is it to just see them going nuts and being loud and it being star-studded? I mean, I'm really happy for the Knicks and what they've been able to do for their fan base, because we all know that's one of the craziest, wildest, disrespectful, greatest, intelligent fan bases there is. And the fact that they are rocking in New York, I just
think
it's
dope to see. Can you imagine if things continue the way they're going and it's Knicks Heat in the second round?
No. Yes.
How insane is that going to be? And I want to see all the old guys from both sides coming back and sitting in the crowd.
Yeah, they all got to show up. And Van Gundy's got to call every game.
I want to see that Van Gundy Alonzo morning tape over and over and over again. I want the whole thing. We're getting ahead of ourselves, obviously, but the way both series are trending as we sit here, I mean, I just think the Garden would be hopping.
Agreed.
All right, your series, getting back to that Warriors-Kings. Warriors are 4-point favorites with that De'Aaron Fox injury. That's how big the swing was. The Kings were favorited, and then as soon as that news broke, it swung right over back to the Warriors. So you didn't quite make a call before. I want to know who takes the game. Give me one team or the other.
If De'Aaron Fox plays, I'm going with the Kings. If De'Aaron Fox sits out, this series is going to be over. And I think Sacramento fans even know that. I mean, he's been so instrumental for this team on both ends of the floor. Again, going shot for shot with one of the greatest players we've ever seen in Steph Curry and out-dueling him some of these games. So I think his availability is going to be the key. Hopefully, that you know, it's been, I'm sure it's been around-the-clock treatment. He may have to shoot something, you know, mm-hmm. take some kind of yep. shot to be able to get out there. But I think if he's able to play, he will play. He knows how important this is. And I saw something out of him that I haven't seen, that back and forth between him and Draymond. And because De'Aaron is such a mild-mannered,
so nice.
Polite, quiet guy. But when I saw him throwing cuss words and this, and that, I'm like, hell yeah, I knew it was in him. I just wanted to see it. So I hate to see that an injury can possibly derail this team's opportunity, but I got Sacramento
all right,
if De'Aaron plays.
All right, we'll get to our closing thoughts. Ime Udoka signing with the Rockets. Look, you thought, Matt, the Rockets needed a player's coach for such a young team. Is Ime the right guy?
Ime is different. Ime goes about, I think he's a player's coach, but he's going to be more, he's going to stand on it more than why am I forgetting his name now? My former assistant coach, I'm forgetting, okay. Steve Silas, Coach Silas. I think it's a solid move. You know what I mean? Ime, as a head coach, was great. You know, just his off-the-court stuff is kind of what got him in some hot water. But, I mean, you can't take anything away from what he did to that Boston team. And although they had a lot of talent, he was the driving force kind of building that foundation. And you remember, Boston was terrible the first half of the season. And they finally bought into what Ime was preaching. And they hit that stride in January and made a tremendous run. So I think Ime is a great coach. I think, obviously, some off-the-court stuff has kind of derailed that. But at the end of the day, this Houston team is a young team, and they need someone who is going to be more vocal, more stern, almost an asshole to kind of get these young guys in line, because there's a lot of young hotheads that are very talented over there with no direction. And you hear, and I have people over there saying, you know, that management told Coach Silas to take it easy on Jalen Green
and
Porter and all that kind of stuff. So Ime is not the kind of guy that's going to stand down to anybody. He'll swing on somebody if needed. So I hope that he is a coach that can build a foundation, because I like the young talent over there. They just don't have any direction.
It's going to be a huge swing of the ping pong balls. You know, if they end up getting Victor Wembanyama, then the entire situation changes. If they don't, then it's a whole different thing for him. But I'm very interested to see what he's going to do. Before we go, I want to shout out Ant Edwards. 5 30-point games and only 10 postseason appearances. That is absolute madness. The only other player to reach that number, Kobe Bean Bryant. What do you think Ant Edwards' ceiling is, Matt? Because I mean, this is ridiculous, what we've seen so far.
I mean, to think that, you know, there was a real debate where people thought that, you know, and I love LaMelo, that LaMelo was, you know, he won Rookie of the Year. Anthony Edwards is a superstar in the making. He's got the charisma and the character off the court to continue to make his, you know, his play on the court that much better, because I feel like his personality matches how good he is as a player. To be only 21, we obviously know is his team. The sky is the limit for Anthony Edwards. I mean, and I think too, once he understands that he can lock up on defense, because he is one of the greatest athletes this game has ever seen. Once he starts applying himself on the defensive end, the league is in trouble.
The league may already be in trouble when he's on the court. I've been so blown away by him. He is just so much fun too. So I'm looking forward to Morey. I know that we probably won't get him much longer in the playoffs, but still pretty good. No. All right, before we go I want to just play a little bit. We got on Headliners this week. We got Dwayne Wade as the guest. And Matt, you got to hear this. He was explaining to me what happened at his draft party. You know, part of that, of course, incredible 2003 draft class. Gets picked 5th overall by the Miami Heat. He's in Chicago. He's a young kid. He's really excited. And take a listen to what happened.
And it was amazing to me on draft night, because you're in Chicago, you have your party, it's amazing. And honestly, I don't know if this story is true. I know I've heard you tell it, but
why it ain't true?
It's too crazy that this story
is
true.
Let's talk about it.
Someone comes up to you and says,
it's my cousin in the party. My cousin Antoine Wade, which you know Antoine.
I do.
Shout out to Antoine. He came up to me And he said, bro, Michael Jordan is here. And I said, where is he at?
You hadn't met him. You're a kid in Chicago who grew up watching the Bulls.
Yes.
And your cousin says, Michael Jordan is here.
So I think he's playing games with me.
Yes. Right?
So I'm like, where he at?
Yeah.
And he's like, he's outside. They won't let him in. Now I'm like,
Right.
He's like, bro, I'm not playing. And I was like, okay, so let's go. So we beeline out the club.
Right.
Right? Right out the doors, it's a slew of motorcycles. And Michael Jordan is sitting right there on one of the motorcycles. I run right up to him, like it was like seeing like a ghost. And I run right up to him, and he said, he was like, I just want to come and show you some love. Like he felt the way.
All right.
I don't know why they won't let Mike in.
All right.
He had 50 people with him probably.
Maybe.
But yeah, he was outside, he was on a motorcycle, and he said, I was coming through to show you some love. Congratulations, you know, and the whole welcome to the NBA type of thing. And so that's a true story. That was my first time meeting Michael Jordan, and it was the coolest experience ever. He was sitting on a motorcycle looking coolish.
So you're trying to tell me that a bouncer didn't let Michael Jordan anywhere, let alone Dwayne Wade's draft party, but anywhere?
Yeah.
Hopefully that guy got fired. But Rach, how has it been? I mean, obviously your new show headliner, shout out to you. I'm so excited to kind of see you back in your element, but I mean, you don't fuck around. I mean, right from the jump, you're coming out with Hall of Famer after Hall of Famers left and right. How has that experience been? And in particular, how was the D-Wade
interview?
It's been
so fun. You know, I covered Dwayne from the moment he was drafted on, so it was fun to relive with him some of the moments that I walked through throughout both of our careers. But he's still telling stories that I've never heard before, which is what's been really fun about the show. It's one of the great parts of All the Smoke is you get some of that stuff that just hasn't come out in the media before. There's a story he tells about him and LeBron James after they lost that 2011 finals where things went so bad for them. LeBron's flinging himself off a balcony into a pool. Just all kinds of crazy shit. So I like when you have these longer form opportunities to be able to really dive deep into what guys are thinking and what they're doing, and to catch a guy like Dwayne Wade, who is about to walk into the Hall of Fame, came up in a really difficult situation, grew up, you know, his first 10 years in a gang-riddled part of Chicago. His mom, who, by the way, is amazing, his mom has come back in her life and become a real advocate and speaker and help all sorts of people with drug addictions because she was there. She was a heroin addict. She was a coke addict. Dwayne was talking in this interview about how he didn't know if his mom was coming home for days at a time or not. And he's 8 years old. Lying in the bed, couldn't sleep because his mother isn't there and he doesn't know if she's dead or not on the street. And so the fact that he was able to come through that to become a Hall of Fame basketball player, I think it was just amazing to sit with him and chat. So I'm excited for people to see this interview. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Thursday nights on Showtime, and then it's on streaming. It's on Showtime. It's on Paramount. The whole deal right next to on streaming on Paramount and Showtime is some Best of All the Smoke. So I'm in good company there.
Congratulations. I'm really excited for you. I can't wait to watch that episode. And the fact that you mentioned, I mean, obviously we know Dwayne's accolades as a player, but a better person, which is, you know, I've got a chance to know him and he doesn't live too far from me. And we've got a chance to hang out a lot post-career, just a really good person too, which makes him even, you know, his legacy as a player even better to me.
Amen for that. All right, guys, What's Burning available every week on Showtime Basketball YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Show Basketball. Matt Barnes, thank you very much. You can catch Matt Barnes on all of the Sacramento Warriors series. I can't wait to see you up there again in a day or two.
All right, guys. Thank you.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.
Pet. Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.